Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Julie Grant. I'm an executive at large with Sex Professionals of Canada, otherwise known as SPOC.
All right. So can you tell us a bit about Sex Professionals of Canada?
Sex Professionals of Canada has existed for many years. It began probably over 20 years ago as an organization called CORE, C-O-R-P, which was a coalition of prostitutes rights group. So I can't remember the exact acronym, what the words were, but so it started with the word prostitute in it, and then it changed to be Sex Workers of Canada. I guess it's more politically correct and a bit more inclusive of other sex workers beyond sex workers, like beyond your general sex providers. It also includes dancers and telephone sex and other kinds of sex work as well.
So on Monday, March 26th, the Ontario Court of Appeal released a decision about on the legal challenge brought by a group of former and current sex workers on three key legal provisions regulating sex work in Canada. So can you tell me a bit about the background of the legal challenge and how SPOC was involved?
Yes, back in 2007, Amy Leibovich, Valerie Scott, both members of SPOC, and Terry Jean Bedford, launched a court challenge to fight three provisions of our criminal code that they felt specifically endangered sex workers. And there are many other provisions of the criminal codes that deal with abuses or exploitation in sex work, but these three specifically endangered people that were doing the work. It is legal and always has been to provide sex services for money in Canada. So these particular provisions made it dangerous, even though it's legal. And the three provisions were Section 210, which is the body house provision. That allows you to work indoors in a regular space and work with a group of other peers. That was illegal. So it was illegal to work indoors. And then they made the communicating law in 1985, which made it illegal to talk about the transaction in public. So if you were getting into a car, or you wouldn't be able to discuss a price first. So if you could talk about it first, you might not get into that car because you might have a disagreement with that person. So it made it also pretty illegal to work outdoors as well. So you can't work indoors, you can't work outdoors, but the act itself and the transaction itself of sex for money is legal. So it's just utterly ridiculous. And then they had the living on the avails, because many of the people that do work, like myself, I'm an out-call escort, I have a driver, I have someone who answers the phone and that kind of thing, that's also illegal for me to have those people. Those people could go to jail up to 10 years in this country for assisting me, even though they work for me. I don't work for them. But they benefit from my actual prostitution because they also make a living off of it on their own. And also the way the law was written on living on the avails, it's anyone who lives wholly or in part on the avails of another person's prostitution. That could be an 18-year-old daughter of mine. That could be an elderly parent or anyone who benefits from the money that a sex worker makes could qualify to be charged in Canada. So what the court did was they altered the living on the avail section so that it was to pertain to exploitative relationships, which it never was that specific before. And they struck down the body house provision that meant you cannot work inside in your own space or in any kind of regular location. So they struck that one down completely. And they left communicating, which is the law about communicating with clients in public spaces. Mm. And that is so unfortunate. And that one was the most important one to get, because 95% of the charges in Canada are against the sex workers who work outdoors, who are only 10% of sex workers. They receive 95% of criminal charges. And they are the ones who are the most at risk for violence. They are the ones who are the most murdered. And they are the ones who were really the basis for the challenge in many ways, because they have the most extreme danger in their profession. The indoor workers, we really don't get charged very often. Like we do sometimes, and we shouldn't be, but but it's the outdoor workers who are always charged. That's why they go into the dark places. They work in isolated areas. They work alone so they don't draw attention, and they are perfectly set up for predators. So it's very, very, we're heartbroken that that one was not put through by the Court of Appeal. We are very much hoping that when this goes to the Supreme Court of Canada that we will get that, because three judges didn't want the communicating charge to be allowed, be struck down, and two judges did want it to be struck down. So it was very close. And in the other two decisions, the one for Body House, 6 out of 6 judges that have heard this case all agreed it should be struck down. And with the Living on the Avail, 6 out of 6 agreed as well that that was an unconstitutional law. And while they did not strike it down in this decision, they altered it to direct it more towards exploitative relationships instead of everybody who is your friend and your relative and people you want to work with, and agencies who are actually beneficial. Good agencies are actually a benefit to work with for safety reasons and all of that. They just made it so that beneficial relationships can fight the charge, or they don't have to be charged. The way the law is currently written, it's too vague.
Mm-hmm. So what impact will the decriminalization of body houses and the defeat or the change of the Living on the Avails provision have for sex workers?
Like, on the ground, it really doesn't change things very much, because 90% of people are working indoors right now. Like, we already exist all over. I think that people don't need to worry that this is going to really change the face of sex work in Canada, or in Ontario, I guess, because we already are working indoors. We already use the internet, and we're not necessarily outside, because it's pretty cold in Canada half of the year. So most of us are indoors and have been indoors for many years. I think that what's good is that we don't have to fear being arrested to the same degree, and we don't have to maybe live our lives quite as secretly, fearing that our children will be taken away or fearing prosecution of some sort. And the best thing that I think comes of this is that when we do ourselves know that there is some kind of abuse or some situation that is unethical going on, we can report it. Or if there is a client that's a danger, we can report it, because before we couldn't, because we were the ones who would, that's when we get charged, when we go and out ourselves as doing an in-call and coming across a bad client, we want to report them, and we go to report to the police, and instead they're only interested in prosecuting us and not the person we went to talk to them about. So I think it makes it a safer job for us as well, even though our job is fairly safe when we work in networks and we work indoors. But when you do come across the dangerous situation or something that you suspect could be unethical or dangerous, at least now there could be the openness to report that person, when in the past we couldn't do it because we were the ones ending up with the charges.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big improvement, but again, the biggest thing, and hopefully it will change, is the communicating provision for the outdoor workers.
Why do you think the courts upheld that provision?
I do not know. I was reading their decision, and it's so complicated. It does seem to be a very legal, inside baseball kind of decision, where it's very difficult to understand looking at it from a non-lawyer perspective. I hope it wasn't because it's unpopular, because of all of those provisions, that is the one that's unpopular with the public. And that is the one that people are afraid to take on, I think, because it is the only one you can really see. Like, the other issues, we don't get reports from the public. We aren't really pursued by police very much. So I think people are way more comfortable with the indoor prostitution that's already going on, and it's indoor and invisible. You don't see it anyway. But the outdoor prostitution, I think, is way more controversial, and I think people fear reprisals from the public. I wouldn't say that about these judges. Now, I was in court during the appeal, and they asked spectacular questions. They said things that sex workers say every day. I was so impressed that they really did seem to cut to the heart of the issue. But I am not sure why, you know, it wasn't agreed upon at all. Like people, you know, two judges emphatically stated that they thought that law should be struck down, and the spectacular reasons why, and particularly as it relates to danger and the right to security of person under the charter, and it should have been struck down in my view. But three disagreed, and hopefully that will change in the future. But I just really can't know. Like, they do state the reasons in the decision, but they're fairly complicated, and I hope that changes at the Supreme Court.
So will Spock be taking it to the Supreme Court, the final provision?
Well, we won't be initiating that. It's the mm-hmm. government will appeal. Like, I have very little doubt that the government of Canada and the government of Ontario both appealed immediately when we won everything in the initial court challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine they have put out statements about the immorality and the badness of prostitution. So I would imagine that they are going to be appealing this. They have 30 days from the date of the decision to make up their minds and file an appeal, and I'm pretty certain that they will be doing so. I'm not sure where we stand if they don't. I know if they file an appeal, we absolutely are responding to that appeal, and we're already ready to go with that. So I do see it going to the Supreme Court.
All right. So what do you think would happen at a Supreme Court level? Because as you mentioned, Justice Susan Himmel initially struck down all three provisions, but then the Ontario Court of Appeal only upheld her decision about two of those provisions. So what do you think the chances are of having a favorable decision at the Supreme Court level?
Well, I'm very confident because of six out of six judges have unanimously agreed about the unconstitutionality of the body house provision and living on the avails. I think that's a definite. Like, it's odd to get that much consistency in decisions. So that six out of six, I think they're for sure going to find the same way on those two. And on communicating, I think it is the one with the most evidence about danger, and I think it is the one that there's also a constitutional challenge in British Columbia with the downtown east side workers. 50 of them are going to be challenging these same provisions, and that is the one they're really, really stressing, because it is the outdoor workers essentially that are bringing that challenge. So I believe that will also fall. It may not be a unanimous decision, but I am hopeful that the Supreme Court will knock that one down too, and we will be back where we started with Justice Himmel when we were ecstatic, and hopefully we will be ecstatic and elated once again.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I really appreciate and I really see a change in the Canadian outlook on prostitution. All the polls where they're asking about decriminalization are massively supportive, like often 80% in support in the Globe and Mail, even globally in The Economist. The polling is so favorable for decriminalization. I think that there is a pragmatism in the Canadian population that knows this isn't going away. It's already here. There's massage parlors, there's escort services, there's independent escorts, there's all these people already exist, and we already see it. The police already tolerate it, and so does the Canadian public. And I really don't feel that in Canada we're going to have big brothels. I think everything will remain subtle as it already is. I think there won't be a lot of change. I don't think people are going to clamor into the sex industry, and we're already full. Like, I don't think there will be any big changes. I think it's fine the way it is. Let's just stop prosecuting sex workers who are just making a living, and you know, and providing sex for money is not illegal, so we should be able to do it as safely as possible, and I think that the Canadian public is finally coming around to agreeing with that. I appreciate that, and I hope they don't worry about all these, the word brothel being thrown around the way it is. It's a body house provision, and it's invisible to for the most part. It's mostly people using their own condo or you know, going to the Holiday Inn or whatever, some hotel, and seeing clients in a room for that day. But that could even be deemed a body house the way that the laws work. So I just appreciate the support of the Canadian people, and I hope they can remain comfortable with us and not be taken over. Like, I know there are campaigns right now to try to worry the Canadian public and to try to, you know, endorse the Swedish model where they only charge the clients, and I hope we don't go down that road, because again, it's us putting out the ads, it's us who make the money, and it would be very odd to charge a compliant and polite client and not charge us, you know, whenever, again, this is legal. So I hope that we don't get taken down any of those roads and that we go forward with the way we have been and retain the support that we've gotten from the Canadian public.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for calling.